Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. The theme for today will be mainly the Buddha and Maitreya, and we'll finish with a few questions and answers from the April issue of Share International magazine. So we're starting with the Buddha by Art Durance, and this is sourced from his book Bridges, which is a commentary on the teachings of Alice A. Bailey. In the past, Westerners were often inclined to regard Buddhism as heathenism, based on worship of images and statues of the Buddha. In truth, the Buddha was as much a divine envoy to the peoples of the Far East as was the Christ in Palestine 6 centuries later. The Buddha was the spiritual leader for the East in a similar way to that of the Christ in the West. Of recent years, many are obtaining a clearer perspective on these matters and recognizing that one of the means employed by the Lord of the world to effect man's subjective growth is to provide humanity periodically with spiritual envoys or avatars, and that is divine messengers who come as prophets or teachers, each bringing some special revelation, message or teaching applicable to the needs of the people of that particular time, region and stage of development. During the past 3 millennia, 2 of these major approaches were made to man, each enabling the human soul to express a particular aspect of the divine. Firstly, the manifestation of light, intelligence, or wisdom as embodied by the Buddha. And secondly, the manifestation of divine love, combined with the light of reason as displayed by the Christ. The Buddha came to the East focusing in himself the divine qualities of light, wisdom and reason, all attributes which could readily be transferred to and utilized by man. The illumined one indicated the way and challenged humanity to tread the path of illumination through mental understanding, wisdom and the intuition. Today, the Buddha is therefore widely recognized as the light bearer. The Buddha's teachings mainly centered on the 4 Noble Truths. The first, cease to identify yourselves with material living and physical desires. The cause of all misery is the misuse of desire. 2, gain a proper sense of spiritual values. 3, do not regard earthly possessions and existence in the physical body as of major importance. 4. Follow the noble eightfold path of right relationships to God and your fellow man, which will lead to happiness. And the 8 steps on this path are right values, right aspiration, right speech, right conduct, right modes of living, right effort, right thinking, right rapture and happiness. what better foundations could be devised for combining eventually with the love of Christ and for those right human relations for which mankind is now striving. When the Buddha came, he demonstrated in his own life both God immanent and God transcendent. Man thus became conscious of the self, the God within the heart of man, and simultaneously the idea and awareness of the universal God was evoked, present in each and every form of nature and creation. One of Share International magazine's regular features is the question and answer section. And here is a question from the May issue selection. The reader asks, what part does the Buddha play in the reappearance of the Christ? And Benjamin Krem's answer, he plays a very powerful part which is not generally known. He works with, and in a sense stands behind, Maitreya all the time. He is no longer in the physical body, but has given that up to be on the highest spiritual centre of our planet called Shambhala, an energetic centre situated in the Gobi Desert. There dwells the Lord of the World, also called Sanat Kumara, a group of Kumaras around him, and various very evolved individuals like the Buddha, not Gotama Buddha, but the one who worked through Gotama. The Prince Gotama, by the way, is no longer in the solar system. He is on Sirius. The Buddha stands behind the Christ and affects his thinking in relation to the East. There is an ancient Eastern teaching about what are called the vestures of the Buddha, at present safely hidden, but which will be taken up by the Christ, the coming one. These vestures are the sum total of the Buddha's emotional, intuitive nature and of his knowledge and thought. In other words, the astral and mental bodies of the Buddha. They augment the emotional and mental equipment of the Christ himself. The Buddha embodies the energy of wisdom, Maitreya, the energy of love. In relation to the East, Maitreya thus gains the experience of the Buddha, and through the use of the Buddha's emotional mental equipment, is able to enter into the consciousness of the Eastern mind, presumably to a deeper extent than would otherwise be possible. The Buddha now embodies the wisdom aspect from cosmic levels, and he transmits this energy through Maitreya into the world. 2,600 years ago, Gotama Buddha made a prophecy that at this time, the end of Kali Yuga, would come another great teacher, a Buddha like himself, named Maitreya Buddha. And here's a quote taken from Digha Nikaya, which is a Buddhist scriptures collection. Now, in those days, brethren, there shall arise in the world an exalted one by Dame Maitreya, the kindly one, an arhat, a fully enlightened one, endowed with wisdom and righteousness, a happy one, a world knower, the peerless charioteer of men to be tamed, a teacher of the devas and mankind, an exalted one, a Buddha like myself. He, of his own abnormal powers, shall realize and make known the world and the worlds of the devas with their maras, their brahmas, the host of recluses and brahmins, of devas and mankind alike, even as I do now. He shall proclaim the norm, lovely in its beginning, lovely in its middle, and lovely in the end thereof. He shall make known the holy, perfect life of righteousness in all its purity, both in the spirit and in the letter of it, even as I do now. He shall lead an order of brethren numbering many thousands, even as I do now lead an order of brethren numbering many hundreds. So that was a quote from Gautama Buddha relating to the current world teacher, Maitreya. Now we have an article from Benjamin Krem's master, and it's titled A Glorious Enterprise. When humanity sees Maitreya, whether they recognize him or not, they will feel obliged to support him or to reject him and all he stands for, sharing, justice and peace. Thus will men be divided and known. Thus will the sword of cleavage perform its destined task, and thus will Maitreya know the readiness of men for change. Appearing before men as one of them, the great Lord ensures that men follow and support him for the truth and sanity of his ideas rather than for his status. Nevertheless, it matters not whether they recognize him as Maitreya, as the Christ, or simply as a man whose wisdom coincides with their own aspiration for justice and peace, for a better world for all men. Gradually, we must assume, many will begin to see Maitreya as the one awaited by all religious groups under their various names, and will call him thus. Some will say, he must be the Mahdi, while others will declaim, Krishna has come again, the law is fulfilled. Others will ask, surely he is the Messiah, come at last, while still others will see him as the Christ, or Maitreya Buddha. All will see him as their expected one, fulfilling their hopes and come to fulfill their needs. Maitreya will neither affirm nor deny these claims, nor should those among his workers who believe they have recognized him. Not until the day of declaration will Maitreya acknowledge his true identity and status. On that glorious day, men will know, beyond all gainsaying, that their long wait has not been in vain, that help indeed is at hand, that the teacher is ready to aid and guide, that he comes as an elder brother rather than a saviour, ready to lead or take the lead to save our planet and to enable men themselves to restore sanity to their lives and ways of living. Maitreya will show that our problems are many but solvable, that the solution to all is already in our hands, that the simple act of sharing alone has the power to transform life on earth for the better. He will ask for man's trust as an elder brother, that he will not lead them into other than their destined path of harmony and love, that they have nothing to fear but their fear, and that the way ahead already has the blueprint of the divine. Thus will Maitreya ease the way for men to embark on a transformation huge in scope, involving all men and women everywhere, a transformation which will launch humanity into a glorious enterprise, the restoration of planet Earth to its rightful place among its sister planets of our system. So that article from Mr. Krem's master was given in January 2010 and published in that issue of the magazine. Now back to the April 2023 issue of the magazine and some questions and answers. The first question was actually asked in 2016. In fact, I think the next few are all from that same time period. Could you explain current politics? Benjamin Krem's reply. There is a rise of fascism in many countries. It is to do with the collapse of the old ways and the beginning of the successes of the new. The situation will turn for the better soon. The storm is nearly over. It's losing its intensity, according to my master, even if we do not recognize it yet. Are the masters surprised at the level of conflict at present? My master says that a struggle was expected, but not with the horrible barbarity of today. He adds that it won't last much longer, but that it must run its course if we are to have peace. The chaos has to run its course, but it will not be long until a new dispensation will come. Could you say whether there are other factors involved? One pressing problem is that of overpopulation. The world is not big enough to support the present world population, and it's growing very rapidly. There is a struggle for supremacy of space. Turmoil is nearly always the result of the change from one cosmic state to another. So many people are still tied to the old ways. Chaos results from the movement from the old order to the new. My master says a lot of people are too worried or too unaware to recognize the need for another way of acting and being. Nor do they notice or recognize the decrease in the intensity of the present difficulties. Are the Shambhala energies stronger, especially over the last 1 to 2 years? Is that why there is a lot of tension and conflict? Yes, that's true, they are stronger. But also, rich people have become independent and very greedy. They are afraid that they cannot take advantage of everything. They are afraid of losing their wealth. And in the course of the above discussion with Benjamin Krem, his master was asked if he would give his view on the current world crisis. And here we reproduce his comment, which was again given in 2016. The present situation will soon turn for the better. The storm is nearly over. It is losing its intensity, even if we do not as yet recognize it. Turmoil is almost always the result of the change from one cosmic state to another. Many people are still enmeshed in the old ways. Many people are too worried or too unaware to recognize the need for another way of acting and being. It is also a question of how humanity responds to the new energies. Most of the response is based on greed or fear. The wealthy have become independent and very greedy. They are afraid they will not be able to take advantage of everything on offer. They are also afraid of losing their wealth. Men have to realize that the world is one humanity. The rich, who manage the resources based on greed and competition, deny this truth at their peril. And I'd like to finish now with a message from Maitreya. It's actually the very first message he gave through Benjamin Krem during a public lecture in London. We'll see if we have time for the full message. My dear friends, it will not be long until you see my face. When that time comes, I shall take your hands in mine and lead you to him whom we together serve. My manifestation is complete and accomplished. I am verily in the world. Soon you shall see me, perhaps follow me and love me. My love flows ever through you all. And that love, which I hold for all mankind, has brought me here. My brothers and sisters, my return to the world is a signal that the new age, as you call it, has commenced. In this coming time, I shall show you beauties and wonders beyond your imaginings, but which are your birthright as sons of God. My children, my friends, I have come more quickly, perhaps, than you expected. But there is much to do, much that needs changing in the world. Many hunger and die. Many suffer needlessly. I come to change all that, to show you the way forward into a simpler, saner, happier life, together. No longer man against man, nation against nation, but together, as brothers, shall we go forth into the new country. And those who are ready shall see the Father's face. That was almost the full message. Thank you very much for listening to today's program. For more information, I would definitely recommend checking out the website, which is share-international.org. If you have any comments or queries about the subject matter of the program, feel free to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. And wishing you all a lovely week.